This morning's scripture reading will be found in Acts 7, 55 to the end of the chapter. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
So how did it make you feel? Were you a little uncomfortable? Because if so, then I already accomplished one of two things I wanted to do this morning to get you out of your comfort zone. Well, you want me to hurry up and get started? I was hoping so. I couldn't stand here and count to 75, though, like it asked me to, mainly because I graduated from Southeast Polk, and that's beyond what I can do. Thank you, Nicholas, for reading for me this morning. Let's face it, though. Are we not a group, or are we a people of comfort? We take comfort in certain foods. I always say I have comfort foods. They're all kind of high in calories. But when you go over to mom's house, it's good home cooking, right? It makes you feel good. And if somebody does it a little differently, it's not necessarily quite as fun for you. When I was an air traffic controller, when it was time to leave, I took comfort in routine. Because, man, when it was this time, it was time to go, get on the road. I knew exactly what time I was going to be home. I don't know why I cared so much, but I really did. Some people take comfort in their TV show being on the same time every week. Some people take comfort in the fact that the Cubs are never going to win the World Series in my lifetime. I don't take comfort in that. Last week's, I believe, but regardless, it was recently, one of the bulletins that we had, gave a little story about Jesus coming into the church service and how everybody was, you know, not being very kind to him as he was there incognito. And one of the things was, is he had sat down and somebody came and said, this is my seat. And seriously, how uncomfortable would you be if I asked you to stand up and switch sides right now? And I'm not going to. But wouldn't it make it just a little odd if you were looking at this from a different direction? Because we are a creature of routine. This particular talk, sermon, whatever it is, went way over here when I thought it was going to go over here. It turns out what I'm going to end up doing today is reading you a lot of stories. And the reason is because when I was studying this, I was already frightened by a few things. And it turned out that the stuff that I researched on the internet actually sort of terrified me. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And I promise I'll try to wrap it all together in the end when I'm done. We speak and frequently pray here about how thankful we are that we can meet here free of persecution. But how many of us here have actually experienced that to know what we're really thinking about? I mean, right, we're happy that we can come here and meet and people don't come and knock us down or burn our Bibles or whatever that it is that they can be persecuting us by. But we haven't really experienced it. As Nicholas read this morning, one example of persecution is in the Bible. Stephen supported Jesus. And for that, he was stoned. Not just stoned, but stoned to death. The rest of that particular passage, going back a couple of verses before that in chapter 7 of Acts, verse 51, he says, Stephen, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the direction of angels and not kept it. How'd they react to that? They weren't very happy, right? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. So that made him be quiet then, right? No. He looked up, and because he was full of the Holy Spirit, he looked into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he kept that a secret, right? No. He said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, he cried to God, saying, Lord Jesus, take my spirit. Stoning. I don't know what the process was back in biblical times. From what I read, though, where it's still used as execution, stoning in the modern age is something like this. They bury the prisoner up to their waist so that if they can escape, they can live. But how are you going to escape when you're buried up to your waist and covered in a tarp that's holding your arms? The stones have to be small enough that death will not come with just one or two throws, but large enough to cause extreme physical pain. The average execution is very painful and lasts somewhere between 10 to 20 minutes. It's horrifying. I mean, have you ever really thought about that? It's a horrible thing, and Stephen did that for our Lord. Do we fear this? No. No, not very much. In 2 Corinthians, 11th chapter, I have another story. Beginning in verse 23, it says, I have worked much harder, being in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rod, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move, I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from... I'm sorry, I lost my place. In danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And who's that speaking? It's Paul. So he was beaten for our Lord. Stoned, shipwrecked. He starved. Do you fear any of that? I don't. I don't think that's going to happen to me if I stick up for my Lord. But you say, Jason, that was biblical times. That was a long time ago. That doesn't have anything to do with my world, the time I live in. Let me share with you some news stories. From the Philippines. Pastor Vic Becerra, his wife Beth, and a pastor named Certanino were shot when an unknown assailant stormed Pastor Becerra's home in Mindanao, Philippines, and started shooting. Pastor Becerra was killed in the attack. Pastor Vic and his wife Beth and Pastor Noli were talking about their plans to minister in a Muslim tribal area when suddenly the killer came in and started firing at them. Pastor Vic was shot 4 times, Beth, his wife, twice. Pastor Certanino got 1 shot in the leg. Beth and Certanino were treated by doctors. Pastor Vic lived among Muslims who wanted him to join Islam, but he refused. Though it hasn't been confirmed, the assumption was that it was that group that initiated the attack. That's April 15th, 2007. In China, on February 28, 2007, 11 children and 2 adults were attained by the Public Security Bureau officials while attending a house church Bible study, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, in Qingshui Township, a Xinjiang province. The believers were imprisoned under the charge of illegal religious gathering. They were Chinese Christians. In India, December 2007, 4 Christians were killed. Many injured and numerous homes and churches destroyed or damaged in the Orissa state in violent clashes that began on Christmas Eve. According to sources in India, Hindu extremists use anti-conversion laws to terrorize Christians. More than 18 churches and prayer houses were ransacked and torched in several different areas. In Laos, February 22, 2007, Laotian officials arrested 15 Hmong Christian families in Bokeo District, Laos. According to the news, the arrests occurred a day before a court sentenced 9 Hmong church leaders to 15 years in prison for conducting Christian ministry and meetings that had grown beyond acceptable levels for the communist officials. The day before the sentencing, Laotian authorities arrived with 6 trucks in which they hauled away 8 Christian families. Authorities also arrested at least 7 families from a village 3 miles away. The arrested families make up a total of 58 Hmong Christians. And you say again, well, first of all, there were many more examples on this particular site that I was reading from. But we see that there are plenty of examples of Christians being persecuted in other countries. So that's what you say. You say, Jason, it still doesn't happen here in America. Right? Let me tell you about a few other stories. A fourth grade student named Raymond Raines was in the habit of thanking God for food before his meals. While he stood in the cafeteria, he bowed his head to pray. A teacher publicly humiliated him in front of the other students and told him to go to the principal's office. The principal ordered Raymond not to pray again. This happened 3 times. The 10-year-old boy was publicly ridiculed for his religious beliefs, subjected to school discipline because of them, and eventually was put in detention for 1 week. His family sued. They sued the school and the principal. Finally, the school board decided to allow students to pray at school as long as it wasn't disruptive. A kindergarten student named Kayla Broaddus was used to saying grace out loud before meals. She said, "God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food." Her school ordered her to stop praying. Her parents also sued the school, and she was finally allowed to pray again. How many other children have caved in? Have caved in and stopped praying? How many of us have caved in and stopped praying? I'm so appreciative of Rodney Engel, because when I would go out to a restaurant, I would be too embarrassed. I didn't want to cause anybody to look at me as I said a prayer of thanks for my food. And he does it naturally. And he's taught me to do it again. I appreciate that. But these stories, these last two, they happen right here in the good old USA. 2 middle school students who were sisters carried their Bibles to school. Their teacher confiscated the Bibles and took the girls to the principal's office. She contacted the girls' mother and threatened to call Child Protective Services. In other words, she accused the mother of child abuse because her daughters took Bibles to school. That's how I felt about it too, honey. When the mother came to school, the teacher waved the Bibles and said, "This is garbage." She threw the Bibles into the trash can. 3 middle school students had books with the Ten Commandments as their book covers. School officials threw the covers in the trash. They said that the Ten Commandments are hate speech. A federal judge in Texas ruled that students are forbidden to say the word Jesus during their school's graduation ceremonies. He said that a U.S. Marshal would attend the graduation. Any student who said Jesus would be arrested and sent to jail. Students would face up to 6 months in jail. In a Kentucky public school, administrators told a student he was not allowed to pray or talk about God. In Florida, a teacher told two elementary school students they were not allowed to talk about Jesus while they were in school. Public schools are using history textbooks that rewrite American history to eliminate any mention of Christian influences. They have removed information about the Pilgrims and the Mayflower. Many public school textbooks say that Thanksgiving was the American colonists giving thanks to the Indians or to the Earth Goddess, as opposed to thanking God. And then my favorite one. 7th grade students in California were required to study Islam for 3 weeks. This included mandatory role-playing. The students had to pretend that they were Muslims. They prayed to Allah, chanted praises to Allah, and adopted Muslim names. They played a game that simulated a jihad, a holy war against the enemies of Islam, and they planned a pilgrimage to Mecca. Students were encouraged to dress like Muslims and to use Muslim phrases. They were required to memorize Muslim prayers during Ramadan. However you pronounce that. They had to fast at lunchtime. Teachers told the students that while they were taking the intensive course about Islam, they would become Muslims. The textbook about Islam did not mention Islamic conquests or violence against Jews or treatment of women in Islamic countries. It was only shown in a good light. California, here in America. But these are just words, right? We could handle words. We don't have to worry about stoning and violence, right? On September 15, 1999, there was a rally at Wedgwood Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. A gunman entered the church and methodically shot Christians who were attending the service and then shot himself. 7 died and others were critically wounded. The gunman was shouting, cursing Christianity and cursing the Christians for believing it. They found anti-Christian writings in his home. On April 20th, 1999, 2 students at Columbine in Littleton, Colorado, shot and killed 12 of their classmates and wounded 23 others. They asked 3 Christian girls if they believed in God and killed them when they said yes. One had shared her Christian faith with the boys several weeks earlier. They made a video in which they cursed Jesus Christ and cursed Christians. But that wasn't here in Iowa, so that doesn't affect us, right? The early stages of persecution, and after hearing these stories, can you deny that we're not in it? They can spread quietly, unnoticed, except for the people that it actually directly affects. And by the time that we're aware of it, it's almost impossible to stop. So are we the minority? I don't mean this church. Not just the Church of Christ. I mean Christians in general. Because even though I don't necessarily condone some of the acts that other churches do and the way that they worship and some of the things that they do in their services, let's face it, for the most part, don't we believe in the same God? What can we do about it? Are we feeling that we're too unknowledgeable to speak out? Do we think it's someone else's job? The majority of time that I spend with you, we spend together here. And it's very easy to be a strong Christian here. Is it easy to be a strong Christian outside of here? Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why then is it sometimes hard to represent ourselves as who we are? Are we afraid of persecution? Are we afraid to be different? Are we afraid to come across as being weak? A goody two-shoes? One of the greatest things about God's plan is that you can take the worst sinner and you can turn him into a person who is strong for God. Think of Saul and Paul. Bob Flack constantly talks about how he was before and how he is now and what a major change he made in his life. And I just pray for him and his past that when he made that change, that he got some support instead of persecution from his friends. Because the hardest thing to do outside of this church, if you're not already doing it, is to act differently in front of your friends and your peers. Because you've been a certain way all this time, and when you change, you will be ridiculed. I can almost guarantee it, and it's a shame. Because what you should be is supported. And one of the hardest people to forgive is none other than yourself. I said many times from up here that I belong to, through email, the American Family Association, afa.net or org, I don't remember which one it is. It supports and goes against, depending upon what's needed, many religious issues. That's not enough. I need to do more. But this is a fantastically strong empire that we live in, right? The United States. So none of these things are ever going to happen here. We're not going to be overtaken by another religion. Don't kid yourselves. Every great empire that stood before us has fallen. Don't think that the bad things can't happen to you just because you're from Iowa, USA. Where do we find the strength to stand up? I'll give you two passages. Joshua 1 and 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Matthew 10 and 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Find strength in the Lord. And people, find strength in one another. That's, here on earth, that's one of the greatest strengths, the strength in numbers. One more little bit of persecution I wanted to go over with you. I remember, and I was practicing this at home, and if you want to play along, that's fine, just don't punch your neighbor. So it'd be more like this for you. That in the basic training in the Army, this is a wonderful way to strengthen your shoulders, and when I was actually doing this, and going back to doing it, it made me realize that maybe I should do this. It actually kind of was putting a good burn in my shoulders. You know, and then you'd go up and hold your arms down like this, and they'd say, rest, up again, and go like this, and whatever. And, you know, it got to be, it was so burned that you would fight and hold your arms like this. It was almost like you were having to hold your weight up as you were dying on the cross. Because who was persecuted on the cross? Our Savior, Christ. The prisoner is hoisted off the ground, nailed to that cross, and over time, Christ would fall forward and grow tired, and it would constrict his lungs, causing asphyxiation. By crucifixion, death can take hours, even days. And that man, that God that walked here as a man, was innocent. I told Dad I was going to come off as very political this morning, which I'm not. Maybe I've crossed that boundary now. I don't know. But I can't keep my head in the sand. I fear for this country at times. I feel that it's falling too far away from the religious foundations that it was built upon. It seems to me that the minority does rule. Shouldn't the majority rule? Let's get out of our comfort zone and let's speak up for what's right. At this point, we'll offer the gospel invitation for anybody that needs to come forward and be part of Christ's family, or if you've fallen away and need help or prayers or any thoughts that we can help you with, invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.